Who are you?
Once you answer that question, it determines what you feed on. We always win. We have already won. We are appropriating our victory. And that's what I'm asking. Who are you? Are you a survivor or a savior? We have entered the age of the governing church. A church that feeds on the diet of saviors. Our native weapon is prayer. Shekepa, up there with fasting. Litepo. When your coast is too small, the scriptural accredited response is a fight.
That's my new translation. TPT. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Priesthood and dominion. We'll just read the scriptures and then continue from there. Priesthood. Are you blessed already? This is total immersion. It says, but you are God's chosen treasure. Priests who are kings. Did you get that? You are God's chosen treasure. Priests who are kings. A spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you will broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. It can't get better than this. Amen. So he says, we are kings who are priests. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. So I want you to know that we are kings. We are priests who are kings. Okay? And I love the other. The order. It didn't say we are kings who are priests. It says we are priests who are kings. All right? That's important. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed Lord. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, oh God, and washed us, past tense, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Unto him that loved us and washed us. Is he washing us from our sins? Oh, glory zone. Can you guys participate this morning? Past tense, present tense, or future tense? Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I mean, that is, you can just stay here. You can just stay here. Washed us in his own blood. You know, I taught you last year that part of the skill set for dominion is the revelation of the doctrine of righteousness. Never forget that as long as you live. And I proved it to you from scriptures. That you see, a believer can never truly come into kingly dominion until he understands the revelation of the doctrine of righteousness. The writer of Hebrews talks about it in Hebrews 5. Okay. Romans talks about it. And then it's scattered in types and shadows all through scriptures. That when people see God as Father, they come into dominion. Amen. He is there. Glory to God. And I'm part of that revelation of righteousness is this forgiveness of sin. Verse 6. Let me not get distracted. You know, sometimes when we are teaching, it's like coming to a place where there are roots before you. And then you have to be disciplined to follow the route you are supposed to follow. All right. Next verse, right? It says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So what has he made us? What has he made us? Kings and priests. Okay, so now you can look up. We have read the scriptures. You can look up. You see, the way we birth things on the earth, which simply means the way we receive our inheritance, because listen, it's impossible to birth anything that is not within the boundaries of your inheritance. I'll get into that. The way we birth things on the earth or enter into our inheritance is through what? Priestly practices and kingly dominion. You've heard me say that before. It's through priestly practices or through priesthood. Right priesthood for a reason. It's through priesthood and kingly dominion. This is how we enter into our inheritance on the earth. And you see, there is a thinking and a mindset of inheritance you must have. You must have an inheritance thinking and approach to life. Write it somewhere. The apostles were them. So I said, the way we birth things or enter into our inheritance, and I define, when we say birth things really, is not outside the scope of what we have. So when it's okay, you are betting things, it's not de novo really. Okay? It's not de novo. Because according to God's design, we are to inherit what he has built. It's the process of that inheritance, of that inheriting what he has built, we call birthing. Have it together. That means we can really not give birth to something that doesn't exist. You got that right? So, we are not hustlers. That is the way of Cain. We are heirs. And we have an inheritance. That is the way of Abraham. The Bible says in Genesis 5 also, that Cain went out of the presence of the Lord and built a city. Of course, how did he do it? Because from that lineage came Nimrod, Cush, and all kinds of things, the origin of witchcraft, and what to know today as the Babylonian system. The system that seeks to exclude God out of their operation. That is what Babylon really means. So any system that seeks to build things outside the order and the provisions of the Father is called Babylon. Are we together? And that lineage came from Cain. He went out of the presence of God and built a city. When you look surfacely, that sounds nice. That, a cost person built a city. But I've told you to look closely and look into scripture. Our father is called Abraham, the heir of the blessing. He did not build a city. Rather, let's go to Hebrews. Give me Hebrews 11. Start from verse 8. Hebrews 11. Start from verse 8. We'll read 8, 9, and 10. It's good not to be in a hurry. Are you still with me? So I said, you must have an inheritance approach to life. You must have an inheritance thinking concerning your destiny. That means God gives you a vision. You must approach it from the standpoint of an heir. You must approach it from the thinking of inheritance. That look, this thing God has placed in my heart already exists. I am to position to inherit it. Inheritance means somebody labored and made it available for you. That's what inheritance means. Have it together. That's what it means. You see, the natural alignment of the human soul is works. What I said now, when you read Bible and interpret human experience through the light of what I've said, you will have a lot of answers. That's the natural alignment of the human soul. That means the human soul gravitates towards the things that in his mind seems harder. He thinks the harder it is, the more result it should produce. But not necessarily. For example, we're going to get there later, but let me just go ahead of myself a little. You see, when we talk about the clusters of priestly practices, I taught you, we're going to get into that today. Priestly practices. According to the scriptures, every priest must offer gifts and sacrifices. Okay? But it's in layers. For example, praise and thanksgiving and rejoicing is a priestly practice. Intercession and supplication is a priestly practice. Okay, but you see, in the religious mind, intercession and supplication holds a higher place than rejoicing, because it looks more tedious, it looks more stressful. When God says, "What you need is to give me 3 hours of praise and rejoicing," it doesn't look so serious. Why don't you have praise warriors and rejoicing warriors, or only prayer warriors? It's to show you the inclination of the heart. But I tell you, when you are waging them, they are the same level. You see that? You see that? We're going somewhere. So, God's path. Look at verse 8. He said, by faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. We are receivers. I say we are receivers. This is Good Friday. Why do you think there's Good Friday? Somebody died and made it available. We are receivers. We are receivers. He said by faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. So Cain built his own city. Abraham was told, I abuse something. Just keep following me. You inherit it. Are you here? I know I'm challenging somebody's mind, but this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So he was called to go to a place which he should receive for an inheritance. He obeyed and went out, not knowing where he's going. You see, the human mind likes security. The human mind likes external support system. But God will take away the human securities if you have to walk with him. God will take away the external support system. So he said, follow me. There's a place you inherit, but you don't know it. Can you trust me? Oh God. Can you trust me? And this is God talking to someone. Can you trust me? Some of you have so much hold on your life. And God is saying, can you trust me? You want to know. So where is the place I'm supposed to inherit? God says, follow me. Trust me. He obeyed, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promises. Next verse. For he looked for a city. He looked for, that's that place he was to inherit. He looked for a city which had foundations. Who is the builder? Abraham. Who is the builder? Who is the builder? Whose builder and maker is God? So at the end of this age, you'll be able to stand that the city you have was built by God. You inherited it. Can I get an amen? The husband you got, the children you got were product of the word. You didn't cook it yourself. The word brought the husband. The word brought the wife. The word brought the children. The word birthed that finances. The word of God birthed and grew that ministry. You inherited it. There was nothing. You didn't go through the wisdom of men. You didn't cook it by the strategies of the flesh. No, that was Ishmael. Ishmael is the product of the strategy of the flesh. But Isaac is the child of promise. Isaac was inherited. Isaac was inherited. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The army of city takers. The army that will shake the world for Jesus and bring the return of the king must understand this truth. That look, we are from the generation of Abraham. We look for the city that God has built, that God has made to inherit. There is a place we follow that we should receive as an inheritance. So we have an inheritance thinking. So when we talk about priesthood and dominion, this is the foundation. You are not betting what does not exist. No, there's a city that God has built that you are looking to inherit. There's a city that he has built that you are inheriting. Inheritance mindset. Inheritance mindset. We are not hustlers. No, we are not. We are heirs. We are heirs. Called to inherit blessings. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Put it up. We are heirs. God will show you what to receive as an inheritance. Your job is to follow. We are heirs. Look at this. This is the way of the patriarchs. This is the way of the patriarchs. Have you noticed that, listen to me, every one of them, they got to a point where they knew they could not go forward by their human strength. They knew they could no longer make progress by the energy of the flesh. They knew they could no longer cross to the other side by the things they knew. Abraham got to that point. Isaac got to that point. Jacob got to that point. They asked him, he said, what's your name? He said, we have to change his name. This one cannot cross it to the other side. He was so helpless. He thought he was smart. You remember the man Jacob? He was 4-1. He was, what do you call it? He was fraudster. Thank you. He was fraudster. He knew, you know, he had calculated how he was going to make his way. But to enter into this city, into this inheritance, you can't do it that way. He had to die. Jacob had to die. Israel had to come out. You know what? He attempted to use his fraudster skill. God arranged for him to meet his big brother in fraud. His name was Laban. Oh, you didn't ever read it? When he met him, he knew he was just he was in kindergarten. Kindergarten fraudster. He met professor of fraud. They changed his wages 10 times, even if you could not believe it. He labored for 7 years for a woman he loved. On the night of the wedding, they swapped it. He came to the end of himself. He came to the end of himself. Are you here? He came to the end of himself. He had children, but nothing to give to them. Until the God of Bethel showed up. Until the God of Bethel showed up. His life was changed. 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 He knew that, look, the way of my father is to walk with God and inherit a city. Inheritance approach. Are you here? Inheritance approach. No, just imagine in your mind, you know you are an heir. You truly know. He says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrawise what? Blessing. Why? Now, you now see why we are distributors of blessings. Why we are custodians of blessings. Not rendering evil for evil, but contrawise blessings. Knowing that you are thereunto called to do what? That you should inherit a blessing. This is our way. This is our path. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Should I continue in this line? So, there's a mental framework. And that mental framework comes by this understanding of scriptures, understanding of the gospel, understanding of God's order like this. It gives you a mental framework that brings you into the inheritance, or that delivers the inheritance into your hands. Are we together? Very important. Part of it is the understanding of the fatherhood of God. I began to talk about it. I mentioned it briefly on Tuesday. Understanding of the fatherhood of God. Understanding of God as a father. Very important. You see, the concept of sonship is only available because of the fatherhood of God. You know, there's a way some people have taught sonship in the name of apostolic teaching that brought people into works, that activated that natural alignment of the human soul for works. There's a sons. Only sons can do this. Only sons. You see, if you attempt to understand sonship without a robust revelation of the fatherhood of God, you enter into works. You enter into self effort. Are we together? Let me say that again in case you didn't hear me. Any attempt to understand sonship outside a robust revelation of the prodigal father. You know what I mean by that? You know, you read that story, we call it the prodigal son, but the man was more prodigal. Don't you think so? Any attempt to understand sonship without understanding the mind of the father, without understanding the fatherhood of God, will bring a believer into works. If you are in ministry, in public ministry, in marketplace ministry, you will try to do things in the energy of the flesh, attempting to be a son. But that is not God's intent. You see, when you read Romans 8, I enter into this. You know, it's priesthood we are talking about. Are you blessed? When you read Romans 8, it talks about the spirit of adoption, whereby the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That means the way you see, the way you can identify the spirit of sonship is the cry. That means the cry. Oh, are you getting it? That means the voice of sonship is Abba, 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 Father. Oh God, are you getting it? That means the revelation of sonship is fatherhood. So nobody truly enters into that sonship dimension where you are manifesting the power of God without the depth of revelation of the fatherhood of God. Because the spirit of adoption cries, Abba, Father. Cries, Abba, Father. That means the voice of sonship. And voice means relevance. Oh, are you with me? That means the relevance of sonship is the revelation of Abba. Are you getting in? So the spirit of adoption cries, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Now, this Jesus understood it. This was the secret of his ministry. When they met him, he said, the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. In St. John's Gospel chapter 14. The Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. As I see my Father do, I do. What I see my Father do is what I do. Nicodemus came to meet him. He said, who can do this thing except God will be with him? He said, Nicodemus, your focus is on doing. But he says, to do these things, you have to be begotten by someone. So he's saying, my secret is that I have a Father. Oh, are you getting this? This is the gospel. I have a Father. So when you are standing to part the Red Sea, if you can see the Father, you will part it. As I see my Father do, I do. The secret of my effective sonship is my revelation, Father. Now, hope you know that God as a Father, what you call the fatherhood of God, was the revelation that Jesus brought. You cannot bring a dimension of God you have not experienced. Moses knew God as Jehovah. In fact, when God was introducing himself to Moses, he told him, he said, by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to your fathers. That means Abraham knew me as El Shaddai, but I'm Jehovah. So carry this revelation of Jehovah and go and deliver the children of Israel. So when Jesus came and started calling God Father, that was his personal revelation. That was the God he knew. It was his Father. And look at his results. Look at his results. Look at his results. The more you see him as Father, the more empowered you are as a son. If you don't understand the fatherhood of God, you can never be an effective son. Never. Glory to God. Did you get that? Let's enter Romans 8 small. Since it's total immersion, we can move. Romans 8. Start from verse 14. Hi. Let me not enter this. Another day I will enter into it. Read verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received what? You have received what? The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What is the spirit of adoption? You know, I told you, was it on Sunday? Yeah, on Sunday, one of the services. I say, you see, your construct as an African, as far as adoption is concerned, has already betrayed you in understanding the scripture. In fact, understanding Bible teaching concerning the adoption of sons. I believe it was Sunday. Amen. You know why? Most of the things you understand about this concept came from the West. And you see, in fact, in understanding a lot of concepts in the Bible, you must separate them from Western context. Anytime you see something in the Bible separate you from Western cultural context, it will help you. For example, when you hear adoption, because of that Western and African construct, you know what you're thinking? A couple who does not have children, right? They can't give birth, or they just want to have two and they want more, but just two they have. They go to the government agency, social department, or go to an orphanage and then adopt a child and bring to the house, and then engraft that child to be a member of that family, even though the child does not have their DNA. That is the Western construct. You see, the Jewish and the Roman construct of adoption is different. In fact, adoption cannot happen if the person is not the son in the house. Do you understand? So, in the Hebrew context, adoption starts from a son of adoption. You see, the Greek word is heutesia. Heutesia, that's son of adoption. It means a son born in the house, being brought into maturity, being chosen by the benevolence and the election of grace of the Father to say, this is the one to rule over the estate. Did you get that? That's the son of adoption. So he's taken to tutors and governors, raised into maturity, and then given the estate. So anywhere he goes, he becomes the representation of his father. That means the concept, that's the second thing now. The concept of inheritance for the Jewish construct is different from the Western construct, an African construct. Here, when you say inheritance, you are thinking of after the man dies, they bring the will and read. They say, Jones, the house in Refid is yours. Jane, the house in Anguarukuba is yours. This one, the house in Metama is yours. The house in Dubai is yours. After men are dead. So for them, for our own context, we think of inheritance as after the man is dead, then you enter. The son of adoption, the day he's inducted, enters into the inheritance of his father. That means he's a joint heir. He's a joint heir. Whatever his father owns, he owns. If he goes out and sees something happening and stands and says, we donate 1 billion. He's speaking on behalf of the wealth of his father. Listen, because he's a son of adoption, that money has to be given. So you see that in that context, the man doesn't have to die for his son to enter into the inheritance. Are you getting it now? And that's why the father of that prodigal son really didn't care. Just that people didn't see it. And what did he tell the elder brother? That also reveals. He said, What did he tell him? He said, everything I have. Meaning, you don't need to wait for me to die. Everything I have has always been yours. Can you see? That's what he told the elder brother. That means the concept of inheritance didn't mean, this is a bad boy. His father has not died. He wants inheritance. No. He said, all that I have has been yours. He says, at any time, without my permission. That's the son of adoption. Listen, you need to get this now. The church of Jesus Christ is the adopted son of God. You now understand adoption now, not from outside. That means you are the one the father has chosen to elevate to the position of the ruler of his inheritance. Listen, when you read the Bible, God has many sons. So angels were called the sons of God. Adam was called the son of God. The children of Israel were called the sons of God. But the church is the adopted son. Are you getting that? This is tough here. Are you blessed? That means we are the ones to come in the authority of the Father. We are the ones enthroned as rulers, heir of his estate. We are. Is a church. The church is the son of adoption. And when you read Galatians, you understand the spirit of adoption crying, Abba Father. So he's telling you that the power of that adoption is a revelation of the fatherhood. Did you get that? We are not beggars. We are not beggars. We don't beg God. Mm-mm. Did you hear that? We don't beg God. Except we are playing. Oh, please now. I beg now. Baba, I beg now. Except we are playing. But we are not beggars. Except we are playing. In the fun of playing. I beg. Holy Ghost, no vex. We are not beggars. We are sons of adoption. That means we are joint heirs. Oh, is there? Oh, continue that verse now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ah, give me this message, oh, after this meeting. Put it up. He said, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. So, you know the spirit of adoption now. You know the spirit of adoption now from this explanation. That's the spirit we have. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Next verse. For the Spirit himself, is supposed to read himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's spirit of adoption. Next verse. And if children, then heirs, oh God, joint heirs, heirs of God. You know, if you are just saying we are heirs of God, that's enough. You can rejoice every day of your life. Then he drops the big one. Joint heirs with Christ. There are things you see in scriptures, and just carry your Bible, put on your head, and start crying. Joint heirs with Christ. Do you know what that means? You know, joint heirs is not the same as co-heirs. Co-heirs means there's percentage allocation. Co-heirs means you own 50%, he owns 50%. Or you own 30%, the partner owns 70%. That's co-heirs. Joint heirs, go and check it. Joint heirs means equal owners. That means he owns 100%, you own 100%. Like a couple having a joint account. Oh God. That's what he's saying. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, may also be glorified together. Oh, hallelujah. But joint heirs. But joint heirs. We're joint heirs. Truly, this should put springs in your steps. We're joint heirs. We're joint heirs. Thank you, Lord. So we said, the way we bear things, how did I get into this? The way we bear things and enter into our inheritance is through priesthood and kingly dominion. And it is something you have to get. It's something you have to understand. Yes, I got that. It's to priesthood and, yes, and kingly dominion. It's to priesthood and kingly dominion. Hi. All this is still foundational. Now, listen. The central part or the central point or the core of God's mission statement for creating man was what? Dominion. We've said it here before. It was dominion. That means the call, when you look at, look, this is mission statement. God is a God of purpose. He doesn't do anything without a vision, without a purpose. So when he made you, what was on his mind as the core thing was dominion. That's the ability to act in authority over Satan and his works and over all of creation under the government of God. That means you are God's vice regent on the earth. And you are legislating on behalf of the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Did you get that? That's what's on God's mind. Very important. Last year, I taught you about how that that mission statement was broken into three. Okay, we'll talk about having his image, operating his likeness, and working in dominion. How many of you remember that? Having his image, operating his likeness, the intelligence of the spirit, and walking in dominion. I would say there's a glory God will never get until a believer enters into dominion of the earth. That means you have been given the ability to lead yourself and all of creation under the authority of God. Did you get that? That means your body should not enslave you. Your mind should not enslave you. Lives should not enslave you. That means no Christian should be subject to Igbo. He has dominion over it. Somebody said this inflation and the condition in the country is even affecting them. That the small Igbo leaf they are smoking, they are mixing Ugu now. That's just in the lighter note. Imagine somebody's concern that they are putting Ugu leaf inside the Igbo. Praise God. Praise God. Dominion. Not subject to anything but God. And exercising authority in the earth realm under the influence of the heavenly kingdom. That means we stand before sicknesses and diseases and we address them. We stand before demons and we address them. We stand before negative circumstances and we address them. We stand before the works of darkness. The Bible says, for this reason, the Son of God was made manifest, that he may destroy the works of the devil. So we can stand before Satan's works and address them. We can address demons. Why? We have dominion. We can command mammon. Oh. We can command mammon because we have dominion over it. Are you getting it now? Dominion means that life of victory. That life as though sin does not exist. As though Satan does not exist. As though the powers of hell does not exist. As though the elements and the forces of the universe does not exist. Meaning they cannot come against you successfully. That's dominion. That's dominion. God created man in his image and likeness and dropped him in the garden to have dominion over all of his works. That means when we summarize what we call your assignment, your destiny on the earth, if it doesn't look like dominion, is not from God. That means human beings gave you that dream. Did you get that? If we summarize what you're calling a dream, a vision for God, if it does not paint a picture, if it's not dominion on 2 feet, it's not from God. If it's not dominion on 2 feet, it's not from God. If it doesn't reflect that mindset of power, of being in charge, of subjugating the earth, is not from God. It's not from God. Because God's mission statement before you were created was dominion. We are not to be brought under the power of anything. He said, you're of God, little children, and I've overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have overcome them. Who are the them? Put anything there. Who are the them? Put anything there. He said, you are of God, meaning you came out of God, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Than he that is in the world. Chapter 5 verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes. Now, why do we preach like this? We are painting the picture. We are showing the picture of who you are, so that you can be stirred in your soul to live out the pictures we are showing you. I will not be sick another day of my life. I will not be broke another day of my life. I will not be confused another day of my life. In the name of Jesus, I will not fail another day of my life. Fail how? Failure has failed. In the name of Jesus. In my life, failure has failed. I will never be defeated, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will never be defeated, because I have Abba, Father. Oh, I dominate the earth. I am fruitful. I multiply. I dominate the earth. I subdue it. I walk in dominion. In the name of Jesus, all the days of my life, I will never be stranded. I will never look left, right, center and wondering, what do I do next? No! I have dominion. In the name of Jesus, I will not be trapped. I will never be trapped. I will not be stranded. I will never be stranded. There's always a way out. In the name of Jesus, I have dominion. Nothing can put me under. It's not possible. Oh, with the Holy Ghost? Ah, with the Holy Ghost, how? Nothing can put me under. With the Holy Ghost? No, you can't put us under. No, didn't you read in the Old Testament? The man Jonah was put in the belly of the fish. But out of the belly of the fish, by making some prayers, the Bible said the fish vomited him. How could you be stopped? What can they put against us? What can they put against us? What can stop us? No, what can stop us? What can they do against us to stop us? Charms? We are more charmed than them. Are you here? Incantations? What do you think you do when you speak in tongues? We have incantations. No, what can they do against us? Is it blood? We drink blood. We have the communion table. Do you understand? What can that do against us? He said, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? No, what shall we say? What shall we say? Meaning, don't be quiet. What can you say? What is it? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Glory! We are. It doesn't matter what comes our way. No, it doesn't matter what mountains we are confronted with. It doesn't matter the situation. We know the outcome. We are coming out from the other side. We know the outcome. We are more than conquerors. We know the outcome. We will not fail. Not with the Holy Ghost. No. Not with God as our Father. Hiya. Listen. It doesn't mean you'll not be challenged. Oh, there'll be situations. Mountains and walls may come your way. But you must approach them like a man, like a woman who has inside information. You must approach them like you know better, because you should know better. He said, what shall we say to these things? In this kingdom, we talk to mountains, we talk to bones, dry bones, or we walk through troops, we leap over walls. Haven't you read it in your Bible? He said, by my God, I have run through a troop. By his help, I have leaped over walls. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Christ in me. Christ in every fiber of my being. Christ in my brain. Christ in my head. Christ in my lungs. Christ in my mind. Christ in my hands. Christ in my tongue. Christ in my nose. Christ in my liver. Christ on my feet. Christ in every fiber of my being. Christ in my home. Christ in my marriage. Christ in my business. Christ in my finances. Christ. Christ in me. He said, this is the mystery that was hidden for ages and generations. This is the mystery, but now revealed to his prophets. He said, the mission is what? Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ in you. There's hope. You can never be hopeless. Not with Christ in you. No. He said, Christ in you. The hope of glory. There's hope. There's no such thing as hopeless. Not with Christ. No. There's no such thing as hopeless. Hopeless. With Christ in you. Hopeless how? With Christ in you. Hopeless how? Christ in me. Christ in every fiber of my being. Oh Christ, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, to the tip of my toes. Christ in me. Christ in me. The hope of glory. They are no ordinary Christians. They are only ignorant Christians. You know what he said? He said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Christ is my life. Christ in me. The doctor say you have infection. You say Christ in me. The hope of glory. Malako Petosiah. Christ in me. Oh. You know the Bible calls him the true light. The true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. So what is light? Light is that which describes. That means Christ is your light. Aya. You see, when they put the probe or to the x-ray, that was the light that they use. When they put a stethoscope, it's a form of light. They are describing what their own light can see. You, why not turn on the true light? Turn on the true light. Turn on the true light. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we are taking nations. We are taking cities. We are taking industries. We are taking sectors. We are taking mountains. In the name of Jesus. Some of you are rising from here with the spirit of dominion. You are going into politics and taking it. You are going into education and taking it. You are going into media and taking it. You are going into commerce and taking it. You are going into economy and taking it. You are going into arts and entertainment and taking it. You are going into the mountain of religion and taking it. You are going into the mountain of family and taking it. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of dominion is upon you. And by the propelling power of the spirit, Kalaposa, by the propelling power of the spirit, you are transported to higher realms of manifestations, higher realms of prosperity, higher realms of glory, higher realms of favor, higher realms of strength, higher realms of power, higher realms of grace. In the name of Jesus. Oh yes. Some of you will feel it too. You will feel that propelling power of the Spirit. You will see the Spirit propelling you. You will say, this is what Pastor talked about. The propelling power of the Spirit. This is what Dr. Carey spoke about. The propelling power of the Spirit. The propelling power. Suddenly, I'm in the tens of millions. Suddenly, I'm in the hundreds of millions. Suddenly, I'm in the billions. Suddenly, I'm inside politics. The propelling power of the Spirit. Suddenly they say, you have gotten scholarship to do PhD from first degree. I'm speaking to someone. You are getting a scholarship to do a PhD with your first degree. Write it down. You are getting a scholarship to do a PhD from with your first degree. In the name of Jesus Christ. The dominion of the Spirit. The anointing of God's Spirit is here. The dominion of the Spirit. The dominion of the Spirit. We are priests who are kings. We are priests who are kings. So the dominion. Sit. Allah kapotosa. This is total immersion.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.